3CCR.
NADVF, NAWRO, Tim in Richmond, how you doing?
Good morning, Tim. I think I talked to you about DMR the other day, did I not?
Yes, I believe you did, and I'm the one that's kind of posting that stuff on FBI about the Burnside, I think it is, site. And, yeah, I'd give that a try, but I know how it is. You can't really buy something, then try it, and find out that you're not in the footprint.
So yesterday, I pulled out my RT3S, and I hooked it up to my base antenna. And I can actually get into Burnside. I can get into Mount Clemens, and I'm 99% sure if I have more power, I could get into Detroit and possibly even Fenton. So... But tossed around the idea is just getting like a TYT 9600 or a UV 578 or something and replacing my base that I have right now.
Well, all right. With that testing, then it's worth it to follow up. But, you know, I did the Burnside from Richmond. I still got to do a line of sight how far away that is. It's pretty far away. But then last night, it stopped working. So, you know, it's pretty much at the end of the rope. But I saw the heat signature for your QTH, and I'm thinking, I think you're in it better than I am for that site. So, and then also, too, just don't discount the Kinect Systems radio I got. It's the only DMR that has a detachable head and a front-firing speaker, which I think is your criteria.
Yeah, I know. I looked at that radio. Pretty sweet little rig. It's just, it's, I don't know, I'm not a bells and whistles guy, but it just looks very... very plain to me.
It is. It is pretty much a Motorola clone. Wally took a look at it, and he said, oh, my gosh, they must have, like, reverse-engineered Motorola, some model. I forget which model it is. I do like the CPS. They have a pretty robust CPS, and it's I can understand it because, you know, DMR, as you know, you're looking working through it, is inherently confusing, but their CPS makes it good. So, yeah, it's just something to consider. Not the cheapest radio, but I don't know. It's under 500. Now, also, you don't need the GPS dongle for it, so that saves $100 if you don't want that.
I need to look further into that then. I kind of glanced at it. I kept seeing it pop up on Reddit, and then I kind of just rushed over it. So there's very, very limited options for DMR mobile. But if you're going to be out here, give me 1 second. I got to run to the gas station, NADVF.
Sure thing, NAWRO.
All right, Tim, you still out here?
Yes, sir, I am here.
So I guess my question is, where are you running?
So the particular model is CS800D. Then I have that as my base. But for the set coming up October 4th, it's going to do dual purpose. I'll pull it out of the base and throw it in the mobile. So, and then if I like it that much, you know, who knows? I may actually get another one. That's where, of course, the detachable head, front-firing speaker. But I do have the smaller diamond antenna. I have that little X30, and that's what this is running now. I've got an AB switch right now, so I'm over on the Yaesu right now. This is not the Kinect Systems. But, yeah, I'm just programming Burnside in. Mount Clemens is the primary because Richmond to Mount Clemens is an easier hop. And then I do want to put Detroit in, like you were saying. Go ahead.
How is the, yeah, I mean, that the 800 would be the only contender for going in the vehicle the way I have it set up. I've got a four-point mount on my dash and the arms and a little ball that was ahead of my STM-150R. So rather than reinventing how I have everything out of here, that I would have to have that criteria, like you said. But I'm primarily interested in a phase. That's a contender, too. I mean, they all seem to be 500 for a 578, 300-ish for a 9600, and then you said those are under 400 or under 500, 800.
I'm going to have to look up exactly where my receipt's at, what I paid for. It's definitely under 500 with the dongle. It's like let's just say 450 with the GPS dongle. And to be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure what that is for. I assume it's going to be for something like Tom has, where you can, in mobile, it would just connect to the nearest DMR. But again, if I'm applying this primarily 95% of the time as a base, well, that's $100 I could save. So you'd be in the $300 range. I'll post something on FBI Discord of what I paid for it. I've got that around here someplace. You'll see it.
That's really not a bad price. And I imagine, like everything else, those GPS dongles are overpriced because I used to build drones and I could get an GPS dongle for like $22, a good one. I just don't know what type of connectors, but they make all different kinds, whether it's SMA, whether it's, I forgot what those names, IPEX connectors. There's all kinds of different ones.
Well, that's the odd thing. On the back of this radio, this is your field, not mine, but I'm going to call it a serial port. It looks like a serial port, but I think there's another word for it in this case, use case scenario.
Is it round and has like a key slot where you line it up, maybe like 10 pins?
Negative. It looks like I'm plugging a printer in the back of an old PC.
I believe that is a USB 2. If it looks like a little house, it's like flat on one side with two little prongish things and then like a round top. My FT710 has that. That's how I get the sound card into the computer.
All right, I just found the actual dongle itself, and on the plug side, you know, again, it's, you know, like an old computer plug. It's got, geez, I don't know how many pins are in there. You know, like they're plugging in an old mouse or something. I don't know why they make this kind of connector. It seems, for this day and age, a little dated, but apparently there must be a reason for it. I'll try to take a picture and throw it up on Discord as well.
10 APDF, but yeah, now I'm curious. All right, well, I'm going to look at that radio. There's really, like I said, three on the list. Motorola's out because I want a dual band. How is the analog on that 800?
Okay, now that is something I have not really tested. And let's see what time it is. Sean's not even going to be out here for a little bit. How about, give me about 1 minute. I'll go over there and we'll just try FBI on it right now. I'm going to switch the antenna. NAWRO.
Take your time. I got at least a half hour on the truck. NAWDF.
K8RU8. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What radio are you guys talking about, Dakota?
It's a smaller manufacturer. It's called, I think it's a CS800i or 800D, I can't remember. But it's pretty cool. It's got a detachable head. There's a front-firing speaker in it. It's DMR analog, so he's going to go hook it up right now. We're going to test the analog on it.
Very cool. What, he said he had to switch antennas. Both DMR and the FBI are on UHF. I wonder why he was trying to switch. Maybe he just has a bigger antenna that he's capable of using. Who knows?
He was on a Yaesu radio. He's switching to that CS800.
NAWRO.
That makes sense.
NAWRO, NAWF.
Yeah, that was
was the deal. I got two radios in front of me, and I'm only one antenna, so switched over. And then once I got to the Kinect system, CS800D Plus is what we're talking on now, and would be interested in the signal report because, I don't know, low power, I'm only 7 blocks away from the Richmond Tower. And, yeah, I got to switch antennas. But then once I get to this radio, I had to go from digital to analog, and I'm still getting used to it. It took me a few seconds on that. Whoever's next, go ahead.
It sounds the same as the Yaesu, just quieter. I don't know if there's a mic gain on there or if you got to talk louder or closer to the mic.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Awesome. There is a mic gain on it, both digital and analog. And like I said, I haven't even played around with the analog here yet. So I'll get into the CPS, and I'm going to bump the analog mic gain up, you know, and we can hopefully fix that. Yeah, sounds good. Over to Anthony.
You know, on you said the CPS. On any of these CPSs, is there an easy way to import from, like, a different source? Or are most of them, like, one, creating one channel at a time? I've been tinkering with my Anycone CPS, and I have not found a good way to, like, just make bulk changes or take take the information from one source to another. It's so tedious. There's got to be a better way of doing it. I have to be doing it the hardest way possible.
I got tired of doing that, and I switched to RT systems a long time ago after I poo-pooed it, and I don't think I'll ever do it any other way.
Yeah, Dakota, for the FTM 150 that I got, I went RT systems, and that's far better. But on this Kinect systems, the CPS, there was a YouTube video. I haven't tried it yet because, man, I don't want to mess something up here. But you can export your channels list to an Excel file, and then you can add lines to the Excel file and then import it back into the radio. So, Anthony, to answer your question, yes, with this radio, I don't know if you can do it with others, but with this radio, there is a way to do that.
Okay, and Dakota, I totally agree. I use RT systems on a lot of different stuff, but I know they make it for the Anycones, so I was curious. Maybe I'll buy it and see, because usually, to your point, it is a little bit easier to work with than the standard software that you get, but man, it's just a bear. You know, there's so many different things to input, especially when you're talking DMR, that, man, it's crazy. And I was working with an older code plug that I've pieced together over the years, and it wasn't set up correctly, and now things aren't labeled the way that I would like them, so I'm just, like, doing all this super tedious work, and, you know, it's just making me insane. So I'll have to, maybe I'll do a little Google search on the RT systems and see what people are saying and go from there.
I got so tired of programming radios like that. That's why I bit the bullet. I forgot which radio. I think it was my ID52. That was the first radio I bought it for. I'm like, holy crap, this is easy, because all my HTs, I always open them up. I always put Jimmerot's uprots in them. And then I always put marine channels and whatnot, because I'm always taking an HT on the lake when I go hunting. So I got so tired of putting those channels in over and over and over, I finally did it. Now everything's a copy-paste. So my 75, my ID50, my FTM150, they're all basically the same exact code plug. The only one I haven't bought it for is my 2730B, but that's because it's a base station and it doesn't really need a code plug like the rest of these. But, yeah, like Tim was saying, a lot of these code plug softwares, there's a export-import functionality. Even my ICOM, because I could import CSVs for repeaters, because it's got that GPS thing, kind of like the DMR Roam or whatever it's called, to where if I hit this GPS query, it'll pull up the nearest repeater based on lat long coordinates. And that's a CSV. So a lot of these you can export the CSV, edit it, and re-import it, and bulk add and remove channels.
Yeah, that's
definitely
I'll have
the way
to deal
with the when I first got it, the FDM-150. It's got the little memory cards in the front, and you can do it that way, too, but that was very, talk about tedious. It's like, nope, I'll just, you know, go with the CPS program.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a shot tonight and see where it gets me, because, man, I could spend hours and hours and hours more trying to get this code plug for the Anytone the way I want it.
Yeah, I still have to decide what radio I want to get now. Tim, the 150, if you write, you have to write to the card, like back it up, then you got to read it on the RT systems, and then you have to read it back to the radio. It is tedious, and it is a pain, and if you don't remember that rotation, it's also a pain. And then I forgot that rotation when I removed a resistor, and it factory reset the radio, and it treated it as it was a new radio again. So I had to do the same process all over. Thankfully, with RT systems, I was able to just paste the code plug into the new profile. So, yeah. I mean, it's convenient once you get it working to make quick changes. Because I don't like taking my radio in and out of the car. I don't really bring a laptop. I don't even have a personal laptop anymore to bring out to the truck. So I just use a little SD card.
So I hear you on that. And I'm back to the Yaesu now, not in the Kinect systems. And right now I just have the RT systems programming cable. You know, it's just resident. It's just hooked in there. I kind of leave it in all the time. And anytime I want to, you know, push a new update. So I'm not even using that card at all anymore. I mean, it's in there, but it's just kind of being bypassed, I guess. Anthony?
Yeah, you know, it's such a interesting problem that you think they would have remedied much better by now because, and maybe it's not this way everywhere, but, you know, I feel like probably the last time I reprogrammed the radio that I'm on now that's in my car, it's been a year or two. But I know there's been new repeaters that have come online that I would like to have in there. I also know that I know a lot more now than I did when I programmed it, and I would probably set it up differently. So it's frustrating that there's not a, I don't know, simple is probably oversimplifying it, but a simple way to do it. There's all these different ways, and every manufacturer has a different way, and everybody has a different cable, and it's just, it can get overwhelming.
That was one of the big deciding factors of why the 2730 wasn't going in the truck, and it's because I had to take it out or bring a laptop to it to program it, so that's how it ended up on my desk. Ken, that's actually a great idea. I have the programming cable for that radio because it's the same as my ICT-10. I should literally just plug it in, so if I want to make changes, like Greg and I did a little mini repeater crawl yesterday because he was testing his 9700, and I was curious because I'd really never done anything with that 2730 other than the FBI systems near me, and I had to hand program them all from the front panel, and I think I had like 7 channels in there from when I got it, and couldn't remember how to do it, so I should just hook that thing up to my computer and leave it plugged in. And fun fact, from my house, you should try it, I can get into the Sandusky repeater, which is like 37 miles.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's a good range there. Yeah, you guys want to talk about tedious. I was last night. I did not do on the Kinect systems because we got permission to use Event 1, so that's talk. MI-553. So I was sitting there programming all of MI-5 in, but then you do it for Mount Clemens, now you want to do it for all the other sites. So now I'm doing it for Burnside. But, yeah, you're right, Anthony. I'm doing it one by one, and it's like, oh, my gosh, one little thing off, and you got to go back. But, of course, once you got it in, you're good to go. But, like, my daughter lives over by Dexter, So apparently I need Grass Lake. Grass Lake is on 443-8125. So I'm going to do the same thing for that. But yeah, I tell you, you got to just pack your patience, as they say, Anthony.
So is there virtually no value in having statewide 2 and all the event channels in there also? I mean, is there any reason that somebody, myself, would have all the different stuff for the DMR on each of those Central Michigan repeaters? Or should I just be programming statewide 1 and utilizing that? Like, I don't understand what all the other uses are for, or the other channels are for.
NADBF. I think to maximize the usefulness and the benefit of the network, you want them all in there. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to use them all. I was lucky enough that Dave sent me his code plug for OpenGD 77, and I just pared it down to what I wanted, but he had all the MI5 machines already in that code plug, so I had to do absolutely nothing other than rename a couple things, put in my own channels and delete some channels like his nodes and whatnot. And that's half the temptation to get a TYT MD9600 because I can put that code plug straight in it after I flash OpenGD 77 on it. But I will let Tim. Tim will know better than I do on that question, Anthony.
So I second the idea of these radios got a tremendous amount of memory, so there's no reason not to put talk group 51, 52, all the way to 56 in. The event talk groups, 53, 4, 5, and 6, we're not allowed to use those unless we get the special permission. So those would be in your radios, but that would be only in case something hit the fan. But, Anthony, you should definitely have 51 and 52. 52, slot 2, you can use that just like you use 51, so you got two options there. And then as I'm looking at the sites right now, man, they keep on adding. So I think there's 35 sites in the state of Michigan, plus or minus, I may have counted wrong. But they reminded me there's only 17 pairs of channels. So you can, you're only programming frequency-wise 17 pairs, and you just have to reuse them. Like, for example, Detroit is 444.0s, right? But then Sault Ste. Marie is also that. So you just have to remember, kind of like we do with down here, with FBI, I think it is. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the project formerly known as MI8, which we're not allowed to talk about. But they reuse frequencies, of course. So if I drive up to the north, then I know that Detroit is actually Sault Ste. Marie, if you follow me.
Yeah, I totally follow you. It all makes sense. That's why I was programming all of them in. So, Tim, when it comes back around to you, just to be clear, you can... Someone could use statewide 1 and statewide 2, but everybody primarily monitors statewide 1. Let me know if that's a correct understanding. Over to you, Dakota.
I didn't realize how big that network was. I guess I haven't been following it along, but if you look at the heat map, though, it's kind of funny because I'm literally in no man's land. But I think there is talk of Richmond machines, so I'm definitely jumping on this bandwagon here. Whether or not I use it's another thing, but it's finally a established network, a digital network that's going to be usable because there's really nothing else. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, Dakota, when you get a chance, jump on that FBI Discord. I may have posted in the wrong, probably just chat, but I did a PDF document, and I've got Burnside pointed out on the Michigan map, and then I've got Kimball Township, where Riley lives. He's ARPS for St. Clair County, and he's in a spotty area, so I can't get Burnside at all. And then I got Almont. You're more green than I am in Richmond. You have more green, so, again, Burnside, the heat map covers you in that particular area. And then Richmond, I'm on not being too cryptic here, I'm on a ridge in Richmond, so it should be pretty good, but then right behind my place is a dip, so, you know. And I don't know how accurate those heat maps are, but nevertheless, you know, there is a lot of coverage. I was going to say something else, but forgot. But go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I was shocked as I started playing with it, I think, the other day, because I'm in kind of a whole no man's land for HT usage. I struggle to hit a repeater real solid with an HT from my house in any direction. So I don't know who I was talking with, and I heard all the Macomb County ARPS guys talking about DMR, and everybody's talking about DMR, so I got my radio out, and holy cow, I can't believe the coverage that just the Detroit repeater alone has. It's stunning. And then I looked at the rest of the coverage, and man, it's most of the state. So I'm excited. I'm headed north the next 2 weekends. I want to get my code plug right, because I think almost everywhere that I go, at least by car, is going to be covered in the same network. And that is impressive. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about this system and the fact that people are actually using it. You know, in the past when I've played with DMR, I didn't really know anybody that was using it. So now that there's a lot of people using it, it's the usual suspect plus some. It's been awesome. It's been awesome to grab that radio and just be able to chat at the house and be on an HT. Over to you, Dakota.
NADBF. Yeah, since most of my, what would you call it, hobby extracurricular radio is done at the house, that's kind of what my focus is right now, and it's on the weekends, which is not in the truck, so I'm going to definitely pick something up, and we can test that out on the weekends when you're running up north and see how you're doing. And then that Detroit machine, is that K8 LTS, the same one that's the 442175 on analog?
No, negative. It's a 444.0's KE8HR. KE8HR. They're all listed on the Siemens website there, and some of them have just the weird names, you know, like I didn't know where Burnside was, and I'm not even sure about Grass Lake. What are the other ones? Morley? I know Mayo, but, you know, some of them, James Township. You know, if you were to say James Township, where's that? I'd have to figure it out. Anthony, to answer your other question, 51 and 52 are general use. They can be interchangeable, and I think everyone's on 51. Our ARPIS group is using 51 a lot. I almost was going to ask Jeff if he wants us to kind of migrate to 52. But, you know, just 51 came first, and I think everyone uses that. But just a reminder, it obviously it's in the name, statewide. It is statewide. We are going up to the UP right now. We're on the wrong radio. When we use it, we are. And I am always monitoring it, so if you guys want to test, you know, just throw out NAWRO. And, hey, with that, guys, I'm going to be monitoring. I'll be listening, but I'm going to jump out of the roundtable. You guys have a good day. I'm here if needed. NAWRO.
VSI.
Good morning, Greg. And it'll go me, Dakota, then Greg. I'll throw it over to you, Dakota.
Tim, it was good talking to you. I'll catch you later. I'll check the Discord when I get to the office, and I'm going to look at that 800 as well before I make a purchase. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I am well. Good morning, gentlemen. Earlier in the conversation, you were looking at that 800, wondering what the cost was. I just Googled it real quick. They're $300. He mentioned a GPS card for it or adapter. I didn't even look at that. But the base radio is $300. And it looks like it's UHF and EMR only, so no VHF. I don't know if that's a concern or
I'm going to check out that radio myself when I get into the office. Not that I need one, as Dakota and I talked yesterday, but it's always fun to keep looking and shopping, that's for sure.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. That makes the decision a little easier. I got to have VHF for a base station because there's plenty of VHF machines in reach for me. We were on NUHF yesterday. But the Lapeer machine, I know that. The Mount Clemens machine, which is linked, I know that one works. So, yeah, I would like to keep my VHF intact as well, especially with the antenna that I have. It's kind of a better VHF antenna than it is a UHF antenna.
Hey, guys, I'm pulling into the office here. I'll be clear for now. This is KE8RUH. If I get a chance, I'll get back on when I get in the office. Everybody have a great morning. If I don't, catch back up with you. KE8RUH.
All right, Anthony, take it easy. And, Greg, all things are pointing towards the 9600.
Yeah, with my experience, I think that's a good choice. It just checks so many boxes, you know, including the GMRS and whatnot. The satellite stuff is so easy on it, and the DMR as well. And the code plugs we already got, like I said, the cross between my HTs, the RT3Ss with OpenGD77, and that, you know, every time I make a change, it's zippy-doo. And I just leave the 9600 plugged into my computer all the time so I can make changes on the fly. It just takes 2 seconds. So it stays pretty updated. And then every once in a while, I'll bring the HTs in there and plug the cable into that and, you know, get them updated.
OpenGD77 on that is a big appeal as well. Like I was saying, I could just copy-paste what I have and run with it, or not even copy-paste, just read and write. Does that have a little kickstand on it, or do I have to make one or 3D print one? That was the only thing I saw between that and the 578. They kind of just look like they lay flat.
It's got a mobile mounting bracket that swivels a few degrees.
Is it usable on the desk, or is it still going to be pretty flat?
It'll go to maybe 10 degrees, so if it's right on the desk, it'll be pretty low. I've got mine elevated on top of the 7610, so the 7610 is, I've got that jacked up probably 15 degrees, and then the 9600 on top of that. So it works out well, but if it's flat on a desk, I don't know. I've never used it that way. I put little rubber feet on the bottom of the mobile mounting bracket, and you know, it works. It's just a matter of, you know, what kind of angle you want to look at it, and maybe put it on a shelf or I don't know if it's. I think it'd be visible, but I just like things a little higher.
Well, the good thing is that radio's been out forever, which means there's definitely 3D prints out there, so I can MacGyver something. Very picky about the angle. I made brackets for my 2730 because per ICOM, they didn't send anything with it. They didn't even send a way to mount the head to the radio. So I printed some, like, I forgot what the degree was, but some legs for it that gets it up nice and high and tilts it towards you. So I'm sure I could do the same thing with a 9600, but I think I have my mind made up. That's probably the route I'm going to take.
Right, and I know Dave was mentioning it's not dual VFO, but or dual watch, I don't think. Maybe you can, I don't know. I just don't utilize that feature on any of my radios. I'm starting to now on the 9700 just because of the satellite stuff. By the way, I got that working last night, so I just can't wait to get my antenna stuff hooked up right. So there's that.
What, you said you had to order some additional stuff. When's that coming?
I believe Thursday.
Oh, man. I'm assuming it wasn't from DXE.
There's a switch in that transmission. I didn't catch what you said.
I said I'm assuming it wasn't from DXE then.
Correct. They were out of stock on the item I needed, the triplexer. I think it's coming from Gigaparts in Virginia, VA, I think. And it made its way to Pennsylvania, so it'll be here in a couple days.
I got a weird one. Let's hear it. So I ordered a little power supply for a radio, and it's an eBay purchase, and it ships on the 11th, and you know, then they accept, it says that it's accepted in like Compton, California on, you know, the 13th or 12th or something like that, or, and then it says it moved from Compton to like Berkeley, you know, distribution center, and then, you know, then it shows up in Chicago, and then all of a sudden it goes red, and it says, being held until paid on insufficient postage. And I'm like, well, nobody's going to, what, you think somebody's just going to show up there and buy the thing, you know, and pay for it? And clearly, they can see that it was accepted in California, moved through the system two or three post offices until it got there. Clearly, if there's postage missing, it came off in transit because you accepted it and moved it through three other locations. But now you're holding it, and it says right on there, if we don't receive payment within a certain amount of time per postal policy, it'll become, you know, postal property. I'm like, what the hell?
Wow, that is a weird one. I don't even know what to tell you on that. I thought their policy would be to send it back, but maybe not. And you're right, that it had it to begin with, so I don't know. That's messed up.
It sounded like a USPS package before you told me what was going on. At least it was on eBay. You get your money back.
Yeah, well, a guy who can barely speak English, you know, in California says, oh, you know, do this or do that, and, you know, and don't worry, because if you don't get it, then, you know, we'll refund your money or something like that. I'm like, great, how long do I got to wait for this? You know, it's like, it's already been the 11th, you know, it's it was shipped, and, you know, and then the post office, I'm trying to get a hold of somebody there to tell them, I go, look, you had postage. You wouldn't have accepted it. You wouldn't have moved it through three locations. You know, clearly it had the right postage to get there. You still know, you got a tracking number. You still know all the details. You know where it's going. So you know it had postage. Clearly you lost, you know, it went through one of your machines and you pulled the label off or who knows what. How is that my responsibility or their responsibility? You know, they won't do nothing about it. Then, you know, and I can't even get a hold of anybody. You can't call nobody. You can't leave a message. If you do go into their little system, they give you just a real cookie-cutter little thing. You can complain about your carrier. It's like, really? You know, I can't talk to anybody about this anywhere? It's just, what a mess.
84ZYQ.
Yeah, I had a package arrive, or I should say, it said delivered on such and such a date and time by the post office, and it wasn't here, so they delivered it to the wrong place. I had to fill out this lost package form and whatnot, and they don't even review it until days later. It's ridiculous. It's like not even worth complaining about. You just have to accept what happens. I don't know. Very weird. KE8VSI, ZYQ, go ahead and hand it to Dakota.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Good morning, gentlemen and any ladies on frequency. I'm not going to stir up the pot anyway, but I want to tell you something that everybody should know, especially in Michigan. Go to YouTube with what the disruption or mess up of deliveries and all sorts of things. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Look up under YouTube Bridget G. Gabriel reads the Muslim Brotherhood Plan. Just look that up. Bridget Gabriel reads the Muslim Brotherhood Plan. She reads a manifesto of how people are migrating to the United States and how they run things. And for an example of that particular video, if you can look it up, which should be still available, Dearborn is an example of that. So there you go. Over to you, Dakota. I'll be stepping out. Any questions, let me know. KE4ZYQ.
All right. So, yeah, USPS, I've never had good luck with, especially I hate when they ship that on eBay. What power supply was it, Sean? You went to the wrong place.
I was on the wrong radio. God darn it.
Where the hell did he go? And I saw 675 fire up, and I turned it up, and it was you.
I started off with this one on that radio, and then there was some crap going on last night, and I killed the machines. So I wanted to talk to this guy who's out there and ask him if it's calmed down. And I switched over to this radio for this one, and so then I grabbed that microphone to answer you. Did you hear my answer, or do I got to repeat it?
I heard it's a specific coax connector.
All right, anyhow, yeah, so it's a 12-volt, 2-amp wall wart power supply for ICOM receivers, and it has a very unusual, small, unusual coaxial connector on the end. I dug through all my power supplies, which I have many, and I couldn't find anything even close. So it's a 12-volt, 2-amp power supply, wall wart power supply with a appropriately sized coaxial connector for my ICOM IC-R2500.
Well, hopefully it shows up. I doubt it's going to at this point if they said it's awaiting postage payment. But like I said, at least it's on eBay. I'm sure they'll take care of it and give you your money back. And I would order it somewhere else or pay extra for FedEx or UPS.
KU4ZYQ.
I think there was somebody else in here besides just us, Dakota, right? Go ahead, Joe.
I feel for, what was it, Sean, that had the package not come from eBay. Last summer when I ordered something from Amazon, it came from California to Utah, ended up in Kentucky, went to Ohio, went back to Kentucky, and as I was tracking it, literally tracking it, and then it went down to Miami, Florida. So I called up Amazon and said, you have any idea where my package is going to be back from vacation in Miami, Florida? I says, because I've never been there, and it's going to be there, so let me know when it gets to Michigan. There you go, Sean. Over to you, Dakota. KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, I've had plenty of issues with Amazon and their shipping. But on that note, I'm going to jump out here. I am at the office. I got to get inside. But, Sean, hopefully that works itself out one way or another, and you get your power supply. I think Greg was out here, too. Sorry, Greg. We kind of started picking up the pace and cut you out. But I'll catch you guys later at 8 PBF.
All right. Get your work day out of the way as soon as possible. And have fun with your radio research. Yeah, I've had issues where a package I'll be tracking, it'll come closer and closer to Michigan and then reverse and go back. And it's like, what the heck? They put it on the wrong truck. So, Sean, in your case, awaiting postage, you're right. I bet you even if you went to Chicago where it's being held with money in hand going, okay, I'll pay the postage. I don't know if they could ever figure it out and find the package and get it to you or any. It just can't be done. It's so messed up. KE8VSI, Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. It's it seems like, you know, they're awaiting postage. Did it say contacted shipper? You know, nothing or And they don't even let you get a hold of them. You know, I've got a tracking number, and so I don't know. But it's not the end of the world. I think this power supply was like $12, you know, something, $13. It wasn't no big deal. I'll just have to order another one. But really, the last thing I need is two, you know, so really don't want to order another one. But I'm going to just probably write to the guy that I got it from and just say, look, this thing is in limbo. Send another. But they don't want it until it, you know, gets, you know, until however long it takes for them to time out. I'm like, you know, not my problem. You're the one that shipped it, so you're the one responsible for the shipping. So either get this fixed or send me another. I don't know. Refund my money or something. If it weren't, you know, if it were anything more than $13, it'd be a big deal. You know, it's not, but I don't know. This just ticks me off. And I did find, finally, I found a connector. I got so mad, I found a connector. I dug through everything, and I found something that works. It's not perfect, but it lights it up, and I was able to get it working and test it and all that. So, well.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, that's just how it goes sometimes, and it's definitely frustrating. I don't like when things go smoothly, and I got to wait multiple days for something. I'm so used to you know, stuff coming sometimes even the same day, but the next day. And then once it gets beyond that, I'm just, I'm all impatient. So when you got something that you know you're probably not going to get, it's like, okay, you still got to wait out a time period or just order a different one from somewhere else or whatever. In the end, it's, you know, for the $13 part, it's a lot of aggravation.
I got a question for you guys, KE4ZYQ. Am I the lucky one that when I call tech support or track something or try to get some information, you call a tech support number or whatever, follow-up number? Am I the only one that gets places like Indonesia, Central America, you know, the Philippines for call centers? People barely speak English. I don't know if that's just me. KE4ZYQ. I guess over to Sean.
Yeah, I always get call centers in my neighborhood with my neighbors, and they say, oh, hey, hi, Sean, how you doing? Let me take care of that for you. You know, so yeah, it must be you.
Well, you got a grin out of me out of that one. KE4ZYQ.
Well, there you go. All right, well, I'll tell you what, guys. I got to jump over on the other and explain what the hell my outburst was. I was over on the GMRS side, and I answered Dakota's question about my power supply over there, and they're probably scratching their head going, what the hell is it? They even asked me, so what was that all about? And so I'm going to go explain to them what it was. I've got just a couple of miles here before I get to work. I might be back in a second. W8FU.
Roger that. I get some things to do here as well. I'll monitor over there. KE8VSI.
KE4ZYQ, clear.
I don't know why you're calling me. You still get an actual person to pick up.
Is anybody out there? W8RCY. Good morning. I feel like $1 million now that I got some sleep.
KFACZV, you got beat up here in Millington.
Usually this channel's not this quiet in the morning. That's why I was just wondering, because there's a whole group of us that go in to work. I'm retired, but it's just odd. It's so quiet, you can hear a pin drop.
KFATWF. Yeah, well, Sean's over on the GMRS side talking to Dave, so he's having fun. Good morning, Donald.
Oh, okay. He's talking with the GMRS guys. All right.
Anyhow, yeah, it is a good morning. I finally got some sleep. I made it through to the end of the Lions game, and then the next thing I know, my head hit the pillow, and I haven't even been up yet for 12 minutes. And I said, So I turned everything on, turned the note on. Now I got to go turn the coffee pot on.
KCKJO.
Darn, that's what I forgot to do. Turn on the coffee pot. Anyways, thought I'd jump in there just say good morning. I'm going to jump back out. I'll make my coffee as well. TF8, CWF. I'll be clear.
Alright, have a great day. W8RCY. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I just got my second cup for the day. And now heading out to do what I do.
Terrorize the state of Michigan while on the road.
Well, I try not to do that, but I do travel and sightsee, I guess you could say. Today's an easy one. It's just nobody in Detroit.
Knock on wood.
No, we don't do it all the time. We're going to try to make it like one day a week that we help out the Grand Rapids office on a Thursday. Because Friday's kind of rough. Yesterday was rough. We got off at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I got home by about 3-ish, dozed off for an hour, helped with the dogs, and then dozed off again for another 3. I didn't wake up till, 7 o'clock last night.
I arrived home from Indianapolis shortly before 2 o'clock yesterday morning, and I tried to get a little bit of a nap in, and I got about 2 to 3 hour naps. I was going to watch the Lions game, and I made it to that, or made it through that all the way to the end. And then the next thing I know, my head hit the pillow, and I just woke up probably 15 minutes ago, if that. Turn on the radio, and I don't hear anything, and I'm going, uh-oh. And check the note, everything's working fine, and it's like, okay, is there anybody out there? Yeah, I heard the gentleman up in Millington, and then Brian, and now you, so... At least I know I'm in the right zone, on the right frequency and everything else. Like I said to Brian, you're already ahead of me. I need coffee.
Yeah, I put a little bit of leaded in the tank today. I try to stay away from it.
Well, yesterday I was just in a fog all day, and, I'm going through my mail and going through emails that I missed over the weekend, and I just said I'll take care of it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's today, and so I still got some actual physical mail coming through, and I got to look at and medical stuff, mostly that. That's what all that stuff is. And, so today's my first normal day since Wednesday. When did I leave? Wednesday. I left Wednesday. And I drove down instead of flew down myself and a group of old racing people, much older than me, that are too old to drive the 4 to 5 hours to get to Indianapolis. We do it every year for the Indy 500, but I drive for that. But since we had a race on that facility, they wanted to go, so I ended up being the chauffeur for everybody. So this is my first day. Today's my Monday. Yeah, that's how I'm going to call it. Today, Tuesday, is going to be my Monday for the week. I got a short week. Not a bad deal.
Well, sometimes short weeks are a good thing. I'll have that in Thanksgiving. I have Thursday and Friday off. Back to the old tradition before we were off on Thursdays and had to work Fridays. But with the new contract, we got it back.
I'm so old, I remember when things were closed during holidays, including Mother's Day, and I was working for Farmer Jack's at the time, and actually my father was, and I didn't start working with them until 74, but even back in 74, we had certain holidays off, And, you know, you'd be closed Thanksgiving Day, work the day after. You're never really all that busy because of the holiday tradition, Black Friday. And but holidays and I guess it's just like you say, though, you know, with your line of work, you're just in that service industry, and you have to be there for the people, police officers, firefighter, medical personnel, and grocery store owners.
Oh, yeah, I did my stint on the holidays when I worked in the central station. I was, I worked all three shifts, first, second, and third. And depending on what shift I worked is what holidays I got off. But I stayed busy. And they shut it down, and I'm out here now doing what I do. But I'm about to get on the freeway here. I'll let you drink here and get your first cup of Java in. And I know I'm going to start losing everybody within the next couple miles. So I'll say 73 on your final. KKO, and have a great morning.
You do the same, sir. You have a great day. Take it easy. Hopefully those two stops are, you know, aren't major ones. And just be safe out there. To see how much fog's out there, but I hear that it's supposed to be foggy till about 9, 10 o'clock, so just be safe. All right, catch you later. W8RCY.
And 8CLH is mobile monitoring. Nothing heard, and 8CLH is good.
W8DIJ.
K-8PR, N-8WRO, Richmond.
Hello, this was 8-8PR, now K-8PR. How you doing?
I just noticed that. You got it. Congratulations. Phil, I don't think we talked before, not recently. Name's Tim in Richmond. But, yeah, I've been following your journey, and you threw it out there, and said, is that it? And sure enough, I looked it up, and you got it. Excellent.
Yeah. Woke up this morning, saw the email. I got run, though, so thanks for the congratulations. Catch you down the road. I got to keep the, you know, I got to actually stop and think about my call now. All right, 73K8PR.
Sure thing. KPR from NAWRO. Have a good one.
Yay. W8FU.
Change your name in the paper in my spreadsheet. Too much work for a retired guy. Congratulations, Phil. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I noticed you said I saw that regarding his new call. Where did you see that?
Well, I didn't recognize it, so I just looked it up on the FCC, and it's there.
Oh, okay, yeah, ULS, because that's going to say, that'd be the only place that would see it by now, so, okay, so you heard it and went and looked it up, gotcha. I know QRZ comes up to a blank page, so probably by the end of the day, it'll be aliased over to, it'll be, that was all automatic, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's exactly what was my path. QRZ first, nothing there. I go, no, I'm sure that's Phil, and I looked it up, FCC, yep, that's him. So had to throw out the congrats there. NAWRO.
Okay, back to work later. WNFU.
In the car now, AAPR.
Try it again, Phil. A little rough on that one.
I was on the wrong system. KPR.
Much better, and it's also a good sounding call sign, too. Yeah, congratulations again. I know you've been working at it for a while.
Yep. Yeah, I just got in the car. Was it you, Sean? Are you there?
Well, this is Tim in AWRO in Richmond. Sean was right there, but he had to drop back to work real quick, so.
All right, very good. Well, he's the one mainly responsible for me getting this, so thank you very much. All right, it's a holiday today, heading to the services. Catch you later. KPS.
Have fun. NAWRO.
Transmission, you only transmitted one syllable, like F, so I'm guessing Dakota. Good morning, W8RCY.
I can't tell if I've been quick keying or talking too fast or what, but I've noticed that lately. Good morning. Just running out to make some returns, drop-off returns, I should say, at UPS, and I do it now because Hall Road actually moves.
Yeah, it happens to a lot of us, but when you have a shorter call sign, you end up chopping off more. So between the letter F and the voice that I was able to catch, I just made a lucky guess. And after being away for the weekend and my life getting back to normal and a lot of coffee, I had Starbucks this morning. So I'm back to abnormality, so it was a lucky guess. But, yeah, I fully understand what Hall Road traffic is like.
Yep, I'm going to work on enunciating and saying my call slower. Try to at least, but give me a minute. I am pulling in. See what I mean? Look at it. I just pulled out of my driveway, and now I'm pulling into UPS. I love that. Be right back. NAPDF.
Copy. W8RCY standing by.
Well, that was busier than I anticipated.
Well, everybody had the same idea you did. You know, it's like, okay, Hall Road's open, let's hit the UPS store. And when I was counting, I was like subconsciously counting the minutes just before you keyed up. And I said, uh-oh, he's probably standing in line. So it did take a little longer that way. But, yeah, at least you made it get back to the office a little quicker.
I would say with confidence, every single person in line did not have a job. They were all either retired or unemployed. And no one uses, they have this nice little UPS self-service thing for Amazon returns now where you scan your QR code and you put it in a bag and smack a label on it. And I did most of mine that way, but then I had a box that had a pre-label, and then another box that printed a UPS label that I had to put on the scale for them to scan in manually, so that's why I was stuck there.
Oh, yeah, that happens. I don't use UPS much. I use FedEx on 99% of the time. I receive more from UPS than I do ship through them, unless it's something to return. And that's one thing that bothers me about some of these carriers. I got my, when I got my phone replaced back in January, FedEx was supposed to ship it to me overnight. It took 4 days to get here, but it was all free, so I couldn't, you know, get my money back or anything. But when I sent my damaged phone back, they put it in a prepaid shipping envelope package type thing, and you're just supposed to slide the phone and or what's left of it in this thing and just go to the UPS box. Well, I used to have a UPS box two businesses away from me, and now it's like a half a mile away, so I just handed it out to the UPS driver. But I don't understand why it's shipped from one carrier, FedEx, and I have to return it to UPS. That can be confusing.
Most of the time when that's the case, they're using FedEx because they can overnight it. I think FedEx has a better overnight service than UPS does, and then they just ship UPS ground on the return because they're in no hurry to get it and process your trade-in.
Very good point. Because when I returned my phone, you know, they said, hurry up and get it back to us. Well, like 10 days go by and I get an email from Verizon saying I did not send the phone back. Well, I showed them a, you know, a documentation and a photograph in the email that it was sent on this day, so on and so forth. And they said, okay, we'll give it a couple more days, and it actually arrived the next day. So it took about 11 days to get it back. Again, I didn't pay for any of this. That's one thing about my Verizon insurance. I pay through the nose, but everything gets replaced at zero cost. It's just the time that it takes. Almost 2 weeks overall between the time I ordered the phone and the time they got it back.
They're never in a hurry to give anything out, that's for sure. I have an iPhone, so I use AppleCare, and reason being is it's the same price, and it's pretty much no questions asked, and I can go to the Apple store, and they just swap me out, so... I've been there with my Samsung phones. I had to deal with the Assurian insurance provider that they use, and it was always a pain. Even if you go direct through Samsung, that's who they use. Then you got to go to Ubreak, iFix, and it's a whole other fiasco. So, yeah, I feel your pain, but I got my returns done. Now I'm pulling back in the office, and I'm going to finish out my day here. So maybe I will catch you this afternoon. I'll be clear for yours, N8DBF.
Yeah, me, I just got to do laundry from the weekend because I got a racing back on, coming up on the 18th. The 11th is when it is. That'll be my race, last race of the season. So I have to flip my work clothes and things like that because we have to wear uniform shirts. So that's it on my end. All right, have a great day. Glad you were able to get out and see a little bit of the fog. I mean, I still have a little bit of fog this high up in the air, so enjoy, make the best of it, and all the best to you. W8RCY.
K8PR from W8FU.
Tom, are you over here in AWRO?
No, I'm actually over by Metro.
Oh, I meant the FBI. I didn't know which radio. I just walked in the room. I heard you. Metro, okay. Hey, I haven't heard you. Did you get a, I know you had a long day yesterday, so what, a late start today?
Oh, there's no such thing as a late start. Okay, so I started at 7:15 instead of 7. Got home yesterday about 2:30, 3 o'clock, took a nap till about 4:15. Then the dog trimmer came over, and I had to help with the dogs, and chit-chatted with her for a bit, and then I went right back down until it was dinner time, which was about, 7:30.
Yeah, that was definitely a plus 12-hour shift there yesterday, so I didn't know if you're going to recover, but I guess it's old hat to you.
It's been a while since I've been up that early. Usually when I'm up that early is because I have an emergency call somewhere, you know, which is far and few between these days. So, we muddled through it. It was a whole 10, 15 minutes at each site, and then we got done, and we went and helped an installation tech in Troy. Got that taken care of and programmed, and then both of us are like, all right, we're going home. I'm tired. I'm like, me too. Basically, it was jet lag. And he fell asleep right after the game. I fell asleep a half hour before the game ended or something like that. And I woke up, I don't know, about 5:30 and then came back down until about 6:30. Started my day.
Yeah, that was, I didn't even watch the game. I should have, but, I'm not going to say anything in case someone's going to want to watch the tape later, but I think everyone knows. Anyhow, sounds good. Are you going to be able to make St. Clair tonight, or maybe not?
I'm going to give it my best efforts. What time is it? 7 at the airport?
Correct. 7 o'clock at the airport at their EOC building. I think I have it in Discord, the actual address, or you can just record it.
Yeah, I'll take a look at Discord once I get done with the day.
Or just get a hold of me, Tom. Hey, listen, I'm going to cut you loose. Looks like one of our guys needs a check over on statewide. NAWRO. We'll talk.
Sounds good. I'll chat with you in a bit. 73-88-KHA.
NAWRO, how you doing, Tom?
I take it just a couple stops turned into many more?
No, I just think jet lag from yesterday threw my sleeping pattern off, and today it's like this.
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, Tom, but you're not getting any younger.
W8RCY, you can direct that towards me rather than Tom. I'm going to be a year older on Saturday, and I'm much older than Tom. So, yeah. But I concur, and it doesn't get any easier as you get older, that's for sure.
I'll be another year older next month, October 3rd, as a matter of fact. So what, next week?
Nice. We'll have to throw a party or something. Well, Donald, I think you and I are more closer to the same age, but Tom is still a worker bee, and we're retired, so there's that.
Well, I'll be 69 on Saturday, and I was born in 56. So, yeah, it's definitely quite a few years for sure, or weeks or months, days. Either way you look at it, it's still a lot. And I retired at the end of 2012 with a mobility disability.
Now, that's 29. You'll be 69. You were born in 56. Well, I'll be 56, and I was born in 69.
One or both of you guys should fit that into a lottery ticket somehow. So, but, hey, Donald, you got me beat by a few years, so I just had just turned Medicare age this year, so there's that.
Yeah, Tom, I thought about the same thing, playing numbers like that, birthdays, months, years, dates, whatever. Never did any good on that one. I've done pretty good, though, on the Chinese fortune cookie tickets. I've won a few bucks using those numbers, the birthdays now. And, yeah, the 56 and 69 thing is definitely scary. For sure, that you'd be, you know, polar opposite of where I was at. That's kind of freaky there. But, yeah, I wanted to work at up to at least 62. And when I went into my physical in 2012, at the age of 56, the doctor said to me, how many more years you want to work? And I said, six. You ain't going to make it. What do you mean I'm not going to make it? Are you going to have a heart attack, drop dead, cancer, something? He said, no, your lower back is what's breaking down. If you keep doing what you're doing, by the time you're at 62, you'll be needing some kind of mobility means to get around because you won't be walking like a normal person. Well, fortunately, I took his advice, and I'm walking somewhat more normal. No canes, no nothing, no wheelchairs, knock on wood. But I still have some good days and bad days. But I'm doing good.
Well, that sounds inviting, Don, because I have degenerative disc disease. I've already had surgery on my neck, and my upper back, I have arthritis, and who knows how long that's going to hold out for. TCTDO.
N8WRO, I hear you guys. So, Tom, where are you at now? I forgot. Did you say already? When it comes around to you, Donald?
Well, my little secret for staying in shape is has something to do with pizza. But other than that, yeah, it's just injuries that I had back when I was in my teenage years, and I never really had them treated right. I just worked through them played sports through it, and a couple other things where the therapy wasn't there that should have been there. And over the years and over the course of time, it got bad. And when I went to see the doctor and the physical and all that, he just said, you're done. And I said, I mean, I'm done. But it's just the fact that I'm glad I stopped, because I can imagine if I kept doing what I was doing another 6 years or even three more years beyond that and retired 4 years ago, I don't know what kind of shape I'd be able to be moving around in. As freely as I am without any aids, again, knock on wood, so far, I'm not using any aids to get around, and I have my good days and my bad days, so that I just count as a blessing. Do a lot of physical therapy.
Oh, regards to travel, Tim, I am passing the ramps at the Gordie Howe and the Ambassador Bridge, heading up to the office to get a part before the stock guys leave, and then probably be done from there. We'll see how that goes. In regards to, yeah, back and stuff like that done, yeah, my back has been torqued for a while. I fell earlier this year outside and hit the stairs with my back. Luckily, I didn't do any damage to my neck. And I just live with it. You know, I can't do much more. It hasn't stopped me from working, so I don't plan on retiring anytime soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably got a ways to go yet. So no joking about that. You got a while to go. So anyways, I'm looking at this new dispatch app. Tom, did you get that from Dave yet? Maybe not. We're probably going to get it Thursday, but you're going to like it, I think. If there's a way for me to get it to you, Donald, I will, just to look at. I know you're not part of the group, but it's pretty interesting. It's got a map with people on it and everything. It's pretty cool. Donald?
Well, I would like to get more involved. If I was more physical and more mobile to do it, I would. I mean, I'd be right there with you. I would commute from Madison Heights to, you know, meeting places out there in Chesterfield, you know, Richmond, Memphis. I used to hang out in those areas in my younger days, but no, I don't even own a car because I don't drive much. And what little I drive is, I mean, I did 2 5-hour trips this past week to Indianapolis because everybody else was much older than me. And so I volunteer to drive one of the vehicles, and I do it twice a year when we go to the Indy 500 and stuff. So anyway, but the stuff still interests me. It still fascinates me, and not to show my age, but I remember the days of REACT in the Penobscot building or the Fisher building. I think it was the Fisher building, CB radio channel 9 in the 70s. And I come to find out Phil, who's down here, was once in REACT back in those days. So our paths may have crossed, but it was so long ago we wouldn't remember.
What would I remember?
I think I remember REACT when I was a kid. I mean, that was a long time ago. You know, so I don't remember a lot of things. As they always say, the older you get, sometimes your only thought is an afterthought.
Hey, Tom, you got to congratulate somebody on a new call sign.
Why, did you get your general?
No, not me. Somebody that's listening right now. I heard the break there. You got to say your call sign, Phil.
Well, who's out there?
I thought he was reacting to my comments about REACT from the 70s, back in my CB days. He was a part of it, or he was involved with it in some capacity, and I was, you know, one of those CB reporters to REACT, and my comment was the fact that maybe our paths crossed somewhere on the airways back, you know, 50 years ago or so, but wasn't sure if that was him or not, but yeah, I congratulated him this morning as well.
Yeah, I thought I heard him, but maybe not. Anyways, Tommy got his call sign, K-8-P-R.
Oh, Phil?
Yes, sir.
Wait, so it's not K-8-P-R anymore, it's K-8-P-R?
That is correct. Kilo 8 Papa Romeo.
Well, congratulations. I think if I ever get that high in ham status in regards to general or extra, I am going to stick with my KGO.
You always go K-8-CJO.
Yeah, good. K-8-CJO. I like that.
Yeah, I kind of do what Donald did with his other service call sign and modify it a little bit. I kind of like that. Hey, guys, I'm going to jump out. I want to try to get some stuff done before that St. Clair County thing, see if I can get there early. But I'll be listening. N8WRO. Drive safe, Tom. And we'll talk, Donald, maybe early tomorrow if I'm up. Sometimes I am. I don't know. N8WRO.
Well, I can't take full credit for my nearly dual matching call sign. Dave, KF8S, came up with that idea, and I couldn't find any call signs that either had my initials in it or nickname initials or anything like that that I had. So I was getting frustrated, so he just said, go with what I have now. So he gets all the credit and gets all the accolades. And, Tom, while you're on the road, be safe the rest of the way back, and hopefully you make the meeting for your group as well. Have a good afternoon, everybody. We'll be sitting here listening. W8RCY.
All right, guys. Yeah, I'm going to bring up Auburn Hills back to the office, get a part, and hang out from there. Figure it out. Started it, what, 9 days, something like that. All right, I'll talk to you guys. I'll be always on the radio listening.
K8RUH.
Somebody's sneaking out a few minutes early, but I won't tell. W8RCY, good afternoon, Anthony.
Yep, a few minutes early for sure.
Is those few minutes going to make a big difference on traffic or not really? I know you're coming through, I think, Troy first, and Troy is just a cluster fudge on Big Beaver through there, no matter what time of the day.
Yeah, it's maybe I'll make it home a few minutes earlier, but nothing monumental, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess then through the years, Big Beaver really hasn't changed much in the way of traffic, but either when I used to work at or travel through Troy on the buses, I would notice the traffic was always heavy no matter what time of day it is. I saw Dakota earlier, and he snuck out for a few minutes to run some errands, and he was able to get on and off Hall Road rather quickly. He got more delayed at his stops than he did anything else. But, yeah, traffic on Big Beaver, no matter what time of the day, it was always busy as far as I can remember it. But, you know, even a few minutes getting out early and getting home early is the big thing for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, it would be nice if it would have gotten me home earlier because of traffic, but it'll just get me home earlier because I left 10 minutes early. Nothing monumental. Because 75 to 696 interchange is a total disaster. It adds, I would say, that interchange, because of how bad it is, adds 10 minutes to my drive home.
Especially going east after you get off of that interchange and head towards the east side where I used to live. I mean, my parents' house was a hop, skip, and a jump from the 696-994 interchange. So I can imagine, that it hasn't really changed too much. I know eastbound 696 to eastbound 94, that crossover point is just nothing but a cluster fudge at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And when they rebuilt the freeway interchange, they were going to widen that, some of those ramps and redo them, but they never did. And that was probably about, 15 years ago or so, or 20 years ago when they last refurbished it. So, yeah, I know your commute pretty well. And break. Back in the 70s, when I lived off of 11 and 94, I would work downtown right off of Jefferson and Shane. It's actually Shane and Lafayette. There was a Farmer Jack's there I worked at. And I'll tell you right now, the ride to and from work going up and down Jefferson instead of taking 94 back home. That was a nice ride, especially in the morning, catch the sunrise on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, that's still a nice ride. I take that home from downtown usually. You know, it adds 10 minutes to my ride, but to not have to be on 94 with all the crazies, it's pretty nice.
Well, like I said, that was back in the 70s and early 80s. I used to do that commute from 11 Mile in Jefferson down from 94 and shoot all the way Jefferson down to Shane Street, turn right, go up two traffic lights, and right there at the corner of Shane and Lafayette was a little strip mall with a Farmer Jack's in it. And it was just made for a nice cruise in the morning for sure, and, you know. But Farmer Jack's is gone. There's a grocery store there now. It's an independent thing. But I was down there this past summer during the Grand Prix, and I toured the old area and the old route. And, yeah, I brought back some nice memories considering almost 50 years. Yeah, for sure. Nice ride, Ben. I can imagine it's a nice ride now.
Yeah, is that the grocery store that's right there on Jefferson near Indian Village? It might be called Indian Grocery. I can't remember what it's called, but I know there's a grocery store right over there.
Okay, I had to shake the cobwebs out of my head here. I remember an A&P crossing the Jeffersonian area. That's that big glass house, high-rise. There was, and then there was Indian Village and the Pottery Barn, and I can't think of the name of the district there. But it was actually east of Belle Isle. I remember that. It was between East Grand and Van Dyke. That area there is what you're talking about. But you know, the Farmer Jack's was off of Jefferson. You had, I think, the first street was Larned, and then the second street was Lafayette. Canfield didn't go all the way out from downtown from there. So it was basically two streets off of there. And Dick Harris Cadillac was originally on the south side of Jefferson there. I don't know what it is now. I think it's a furniture store. Last time I went through there during the Grand Prix. But, yeah, a lot of memories going through those parts of Grosse Pointe, Detroit, the Jefferson-Chalmers area that they keep trying to redevelop, and the old Vanity Hall or movie theater that was there, Chalmers and Jefferson. Now I'm aging myself.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. But when I was a kid, we didn't hang out in the city. That's for sure. We got in and out. It was downtown was less safe than it is now, and I wouldn't quantify it as safe right now. So it was a different animal years ago.
Trying to do some quick math here. I started working for Jackson in 74, so that's, what, 7 years after the riots. And having to work down there, it was pretty well cleaned up and calmed down, really, from way back when. But like I said, I mean, when I was downtown, I was actually watching the Rensen get built. So and that was being pretty much built from the ground up. I think it started in 75. And they finished it in 77. So watching that thing go up as fast as it did 2 years, right from, I could see the upper half of it right from the parking lot of the Farmer Jack's store, watch it go up. And, yeah, shame part of it might get torn down, but I say either tear it all down or refurbish it or something. There's a lot more older buildings in the city, but that's just my quick comment and on that. But, yeah, the cruise you have now, from Troy to Grosse Pointe is definitely, maybe say about a half hour, 40-minute drive.
Yep, and some days it's easy and some days it's not. We'll see what happens when, I think they're going to be changing the traffic pattern relatively soon. I think they're getting close to having eastbound done on the west of 75, so we'll see what happens.
That whole crazy thing about this construction is they didn't do the gap between DeQuinder and 75. That's going to be done after this phase of 96 is done, you know, west of 75. When Macomb County did their part from 94 west towards I-75, 100 feet or a mile, whatever the distance is there between DeQuinder and the major interchange. But they still got to fill in that gap between I-75 and DeQuinder eventually, and they'll probably do it one side at a time. So this thing's going to be going next year for 696, and then 1 year at a time to redo both sides between DeQuinder and 75, which is just frustrating for those people that drive it all the time, I can imagine.
Yeah, that'll be bad. I'll be taking 8 mile every day. That's for sure, because it will be an absolute disaster getting home. I can't even imagine. Every mile road will be jammed up.
Yeah, but you'll figure out something that works, whether you take 8 mile or another mile route across, maybe 12 mile. I don't know how the traffic is. I mean, you'll be past the initial round of 2:30 p.m. afternoon. People at the tech center there, GM, 12 and Van Dyke, I think the first shift gets out around 2:30 in the afternoon, so you'll pass that. But, yeah, you'll have options. But, like I say, I'm glad in a way I am retired, and second of all, I don't drive much anymore, if at all. I don't even know how much longer I'm going to keep my license, but because I don't drive enough, but I just have it with me just in case I need to have it and drive people somewhere or somebody had a little too much to drink, and I could be the designated driver. That little bit of driving is not hard for my disability.
Yeah, I could imagine it's easier to just keep it and keep renewing it than deciding to let it lapse and then having to go back and get it. I would imagine that's a real pain.
Well, like this weekend, I did a round trip because I'm the youngest guy with the best eyesight to drive a group of guys down to Indianapolis for a race, and it's about a five-hour drive, four and a half. But I'm the only guy that can see good at night still and drive, but the vehicle I drive has a multi-position seating thing. I think it's like a 22-way seat, power seat, and I can make adjustments. Sit closer to the wheel, sit back from the wheel, enough to move my legs around and my legs don't bother me, and then cruise control and things like that help. Because my problem is from my lower back down through my hips and down to my feet, neuropathy stuff. So, yeah. But the upper half, put the cruise on. I don't put the autopilot on yet. So, yeah, cruise, I'm good for that.
Hey, Donald, I got a call I got to take. I will catch up with you a little later. I'll be in the car for another 15 or so. This is K8RUH, and I'll call back out when I'm off the phone. Talk to you soon.
Copy that. Fully understand. If you don't make it back, we'll catch you in the morning. I might be awake and vertical and coffee in me. Have a good afternoon. Safe trip home. W8RCY.
K8PR from W8FU.
What?
Wasabi.
Sorry, I jumped in there. If you're calling the person I think you're calling, I'm very, very happy for him. K8BB.
Yes, I am. He got the email when he woke up.
Well, woo, and you can quote me on this, who?
It was his last chance, I think. I don't think N8's on the table anytime soon. And W8 had come and gone, so he got K8. So one of the good ones.
Well, I'm partial to the K prefixes, but anyway. Well, very good. I am simply delighted. Happy that happened for him.
Yeah, you could argue N and K are the best prefixes spoken and certainly on code. W is a mumbly mouthful to say, and it doesn't particularly flow well with 8, but K and N do, and I do like K8 real well. I like N8. N8, K, they speak well, and they certainly CW well. So, and of course he got the suffix he wanted, so it's all good.
Well, I'm sure if he can hear us, or if he can't hear us, his ears are burning. Yep. I am, so I'm on, speaking of which, I am on that repeater. Having to get home from the office a little early and do some work from home, work later. But I've been on the West Bloomfield repeater, and it's still got a good signal. I miss it when it loses its location.
You're right, my ears are burning. K8PIA.
There's the man of a hour. So I am going to be seeing a man about a horse in the morning regarding the West Bloomfield repeater. So I think I've spoke with you about it, Don, so enough said, but seeing a man about that horse tomorrow. Good afternoon, Phil. Don?
Very good. Well, I will remain hopeful and, again, happy to offer whatever assistance I can, knowing that I don't have any skills to provide. Phil, congratulations. Very, very happy for you. That's a good one. K8PR, K8BB.
Yeah, still got to get used to the flow. Updating various things right now. Sorry, everybody's got to update their P25 list. So, anyways, so Sean, how do you want to work tomorrow?
Well, I told my guy I'd see him around 9. I'm going to shoot up there. I figure we'll be catching up for a while before getting to stuff. So I would like to be on the road by 11. So I got a few hours to burn up there. I don't, you know, we don't have to be in any major rush or anything. I'll probably be, I don't know if I want to eat heavy, but I might want to get a small bite before we head out. I don't know. Like I said, I think I'm going to shoot for 9 o'clock at the location.
Okay, do you want to come by here, pick me up, or do you want me to meet you there and leave my car there or something? I can go any way you want to go.
How far do I have to backtrack if I go and then come get you? I'm not real good with that area because it's kind of swirly.
I think it's less than 5 miles, but it's kind of going back the other way. So, so I can go out there.
Okay. Well, let me, as I've decided, we can take this thing and gas is on them, but this thing is not the greatest. I mean, it's fine, but I've been debating whether to take my vehicle or this. So, yeah, why don't we, maybe I'll have you just run up there. I'll, and then that way, and then I guess we'll just shoot 59 out, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what the best way to go from there is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so give me, when you're done there or whatever, finishing up, call me or text me. I'll try to listen, make sure I listen to the radio. If not, just text me or something, and I'll head over there.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Play it by ear. Anyhow, go ahead, Don. We're road tripping to Lansing tomorrow, so I just got to get something accomplished in the morning beforehand, and I'm leaving myself a lot of time, but I don't know how much I'm going to need, actually. Very good. Well, enjoy and be safe and all that. And I hope it works out well. Well, I am actually just about home. I have one more traffic light to go through and pull and turn on my street, so we'll catch you guys later. But again, congrats, Paul. Phil, very, very happy for you. Great call. So I'll see you guys. K8PR, K8BB.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Now, let's see. I gotta change my license plate. I don't know if you can do that, or do I have to wait till it expires for my car? We'll see. I'll check that out.
I was just going to mention your license plate. Good afternoon. Congratulations, W8RCY. When I had personal license plates on my cars when I was younger, I just put in the form right away and get it submitted in the event if somebody tries to come up with the combinations I had. Just a suggestion.
K8RUH.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just hop in real quick and then I'll be gone. But Sean, when you get an opportunity, check your direct messages on Discord. I found something, sent you a few pictures this afternoon. So take a look and I'll catch up with you guys later. This is K8RUH.
All right, Anthony. I will do that. Thought I checked a little bit ago. Must have been pretty recent. All right. Driving right now, but I'll check that when I can. That was weird. The warren just dropped. So, all right, Anthony, I'll check that when I get home. I'm on my way home now.
Yeah, I've experienced that too with the warren just dropping out for a moment.
Yeah, that was weird. Am I okay into this one?
Yeah, you're fine.
Did you guys copy me, W-A-R-C-Y, when I tried to suggest something to Phil?
Yeah, sorry, Don. I got that. I don't think anybody else is going to compete for that personalized plate.
Yeah, the odds are pretty slim because, you know, vanity call plates for amateur radio operators versus crazy people that want, you know, combinations are slightly different, but still. I know you can put in for it before your current license expires just to get it on record. Again, the odds are slim. And, the only reason why I jumped back in there is because you said Warren was cutting out. Guys heard everybody, but nobody kind of heard me, so I just want to make sure my radio's still working. Thanks, guys. I'll let you guys finish up. Have a great afternoon. Congratulations, Phil. Everybody have a good afternoon. W8RCY.
Okay, Don. Sounds good. I just got to figure out how to change the call on my other radio here. I know it's here somewhere. I can't find it. It's hiding. All right, catch you later. AB here. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to put a quarter in a jar every time I do that. KAPR.
I didn't have a problem with mine, but it was completely different, you know, than my other one. So, and you started with the same first letter. That's it. But yours would be a little tougher because you're basically just changing the prefix. So. Yep. Ah, well, sure, that'll automatically happen if it hasn't happened already. In fact, I did a search for KPR this morning on QRZ, and it goes nowhere, so I'm guessing they were in transition.
Let me see here. right now. Nope, not coming up yet.
All right, talk to you tomorrow. I got some things. We're having company over tonight, so I got to do the chores. Catch you later, KAPR.
All righty. W8FU.
KAKHO. Congrats, Phil.
Thank you. KAPR. 7-3.
Anthony, you still in here?
I think he was on the war machine and it dropped off, and he dropped off, and I haven't heard him back yet.
Yeah, but Warren came back. Whatever it was short-lived.
That's because you are the walrus.
Cuckoo ka-choo.
Yeah, look at that, International Association of Turtles. That was pretty cool on how that all started. Kind of neat. Learn more history every day.
Yeah, I think it was U.S. sailors. Might have been older than that, but when he crossed the Prime Meridian. But it takes a turtle member to make another turtle member. My father made me a turtle when I was young. Even have my card, my International Association of Turtles membership card. So that was always a funny thing when we were little, when saying "you bet your sweet ass I am" was risque.
So you're a Navy brat, I'm an Army brat.
Well, I don't know. Navy brat, Army brat, wouldn't you live on base with a career enlisted, you know, a career soldier or a career airman or a career seaman or something like that, and you get dragged around from city to city, base to base? Wouldn't that be a Navy brat or an Army brat? I just was the son of a Navy vet that did his time in the war, and that was all it was. Does that make me a Navy brat?
No, you're like me, you're the son of a Navy veteran, I'm the son of an Army veteran. My dad did a couple years in the Army, and then I think 2 Reserve. He was the payroll sergeant.
There you go. I don't know what that term, but I've always associated that term with the children of career military. You know, that's kind of what I thought that was used for. But yeah, no, my dad was the greatest generation. He did his stint in the big one, and so at we went long. You know, every generation of ours has kids late, so there's a lot of families have one extra generation nestled in there, but I'm still the son of a World War II vet. So, because I was way at the far, far end of the boomers, beginning of the Xers when I was born, so he waited quite a while.
You know, my dad was born in 32, and when he joined the Army, when he crossed over from Canada to the U.S., became a naturalized citizen by joining the U.S. Army. He missed Korea, I think, by a few months or something like that.
Well, there you go. Yep. My pops was 17 when the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor. And he went down there and signed up, had to lie. Signed up as a 17-year-old, was in theater before he turned 18.
Yeah, that's the great generation right there. Those are true patriots and true American heroes right there.
The uppers. pretty amazing run to grow up your childhood in the Great Depression and a young man off to war and come home to the boom of the 50s and the rising of the great rising of American hegemony. Yep, good times. You know, and everybody hankers back for the golden era, but it was all a matter of just, everything was just the right cauldron. Everything happening at the right time.
Like my grandfather, I mean, I think he was in the Canadian Armed Forces, but I'm not sure. I know that I got a couple cousins. My uncle's two or three boys are in the military. Still, I think. The older one is an air traffic controller at Toronto Pearson Airport, and then one lives in Yellowknife, and I can't think where the other one is. James is a military pilot, so I think that's pretty cool. He's the one that's up in Yellowknife. Then I have two nephews of my own from my second oldest sister. One's in the Navy following his father, and the other one is in the Air Force.
Good Lord, that's almost the entire Canadian Armed Forces.
Well, I always say that I'm a U.S.-born Canuck. My father's from Montreal, my mother is from Toronto.
Do you qualify for dual citizenship?
Canadians fan or a Maple Leaf fan?
Red Wings.
I'd be a Habs fan if I wasn't a Red Wing fan. But, because F Toronto.
Good answer from Tom. And carry on, gentlemen. W-A-R-C-Y. I just had to get that in there.
Retirement. So we followed him from Edmond to L.A. and then to his retirement. K-C-K-U.
I think I missed a little bit of that. I was asking if you have dual citizenship.
No, I do not. I've looked into it. I don't know if there's anything that's going to happen with taxes or whatever else, but I'll still look into it. But no, my dad was an Edmonton Oilers fan and followed Wayne Gretzky's career from beginning to end.
A friend of mine from school, he was a pretty good forward. Played in the QMJ. So, you know, he was good enough to make the QMJ. And he tells me a story about they were playing this team, and this team comes in there, and this kid comes in, and he's just skating around him and just lighting it up, and everybody's like, what the, you know, is this? And all this stuff. And he later found out it was Wayne Gretzky. And when, you know, when they were playing him in the minors, and he says, unbelievable. He said, we were all just like sitting there going, what the hell is this?
Yeah, my dad was just a big fan. And like I said, he retired with the LA Kings, and he opened up, it was a hockey training camp in Ontario, California. Been by there, that was like 20 years ago, though.
Hey, it's Ontario, eh? Why is it Yellowknife? Didn't they have any silver knife?
Yeah, good question. All I know is, you know, it's, like, desolate up there as far as I know.
Now I gotta go Google it when I get home. You know, if Professor Don was here, he'd probably be in this conversation and he'd say, and he'd be reading us right now what Google says or Wikipedia says about Yellowknife.
Yeah, I get that too. Start reading, and then I get absorbed in all the different links, and I end up somewhere else, like on a volcano in some deserted island.
Tom, terrific. We are making our final approach here. I'll be back in later. But tomorrow, KATR and I are carpooling. We're motoring out to Diamonddale. So we're going to be on the raid video doing the long haul. Probably going to take 59 across Highland Road across till it dumps in there and back. So we'll see. I don't know. Never went there from out that away. But I'm almost home. I'll be able to listen out. We'll catch you in a bit. W8FU.
You'll have a little bit of sluggishness in Pontiac, but once you get west of Pontiac on M59, with 55 miles an hour, it can sell you right out to 96 west.
That happens about Wixom, right?
No, west of White Lake. You'll hit Pontiac, and then you'll hit Highland, or White Lake, then Highland. And then kind of like Milford area, and then you'll keep going west on M59, go through Howell, and it'll dump you right on 96 just west of Howell.
Ah, okay, so almost to 23 then.
Nope, just past 23. I was just that way this morning. I went 23 and got off on M59. So yeah, spun another 5-6 miles, and it'll take you right up there by Howell. It's a nice little drive. You'll love it.
All righty. Okay, I'm home. W8FU.
Family tree, KCKJ.
AFA-CWF. Kilo 5-side 8, Delta Romeo Charlie.
WD8KLO.
KF8DIC, good morning.
Good morning, would you just get up from your nap?
And I also talked to your buddy down there. He said I talked to you before.
Get to know those guys. Like you talking about the guy in Ireland?
The guy in Ireland, he started laughing. He said, I talked to you yesterday. I said, yeah, I talked to you almost about a month ago on 20 meters.
Yeah, he's the guy with that pile-up buster software. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat. Yeah, the band's been pretty wide open the last 3 days. It's been amazing.
It is. It rained so hard here, now it stopped and the sunshine came up.
Yeah, same thing here. It rained a little bit ago and the sun's out now. So, yeah, I'm just waiting for it to dry up so I can mow the yard, chop up the leaves.
That's all right, the dry leaves out there. That front tree is loaded with dry leaves, but not much really coming down. But yesterday it came a lot down.
Yeah, my maple's not really dropping anything. Just a little bit, just starting in the front yard. But my two elms in the backyard, they're just slowly dropping, have been dropping. So just keep at them. I just chop them up with the old lawnmower. I don't even have to bag them or nothing.
You know what? That would be a good idea. I'm going to try that this year. I got a bag on the rider, and I always pick them up. But I don't think I'm going to do it this year. I think I'm just going to grind them and let them go.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for 20 years I've been here, so yeah, it's just a mulch blade on the lawnmower. It just chops them right up. I think it's good fertilizer for the next year. so they say. So it's worked for me.
I'm going to try this year not to do that. That's for sure. You see, because that maple tree in the front, it come when it dries out, half comes out, and then a quarter comes out, then then the rest of it comes out.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Some trees are funny like that. You look out one day and half of them's dropped, and the next day the other half drops.
That makes it really hard for the lawnmower to go through them. That's what I had a problem 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know what you mean. If it gets that much, we just bag them. And actually what we do is we put them in a tarp and drag them to the field and just throw them in the field.
Yeah, you're lucky. Nobody around. If that would have been in Detroit, they would have said something. I had my son there who lives in Detroit, and that's what he did when he gets the lot. He blow them the other side, and people say, no, he ain't going to blow them all there. And it's a huge... very huge place there. It's about maybe 4 or 5 acres. And all those leaves he comes on his house.
Yeah, I see you. See what you're saying there. Yeah, it just depends. But yeah, this is all wooded area, so it just goes in the woods there and decomposes, so no big deal.
Well, what are you going to do? All right, Greg, good talking to you. We'll talk again. We've been talking for the past 3 days. Anyhow, take care. KFA-DRC.
Okay, Jack, good chatting with you. Go out there and have fun on 10 meters. We'll chat with you later. WDAKLL, we'll be cleared.
NADBF, NAWRO, Marysville Mobile.
NAWRO, good afternoon.
How's it going? I take it you might be leaving work.
Trying to, but I'm about the 8th car in line pulling out here.
Well, this time I'm on the ICOM, mobile, and I do have it on high power because I'm getting a little bit further away from that repeater. So, how's my signal, Dakota?
You're in there good. I can hear you just fine.
All right, very good. Happy to hear that.
So Marysville, that's what? Is that just south of Port Huron?
Yeah, that's correct. Southwest of Port Huron, I guess you'd say. And we're actually, some of us from Macomb are heading up to the St. Clair County ARPS group to their EOC. Tonight is their meeting, so we're going to meet at 7 o'clock. But they've got a Winley Gateway up at their EOC, so I'm going to... I don't think you'd call it POTA, but I'm going to park in their lot, and they're so great. They're gracious and let us use it and see if I remember how to do WinLink. But then again, we have the meeting tonight, and then our meeting is 7 o'clock on Thursday.
I feel like I've been hearing more and more about all these MCOM things going on.
Well, Dave, our EC, is doing a good job. We're attempting to, staff up, I guess you'd say. Like last year was a little bit of a, I guess it might have been due to COVID. I never really did find out, but it was kind of in hiatus, I guess you'd say. And we're trying to get it moving again and think we're doing a fairly good job, if I do say so myself.
No, it's a good thing. I mean, I've been hearing, like I said, a lot more MCOM stuff, a lot more auxiliary radio stuff going on. Why is there a free car wash sign right here? It's good to hear people, you know, getting back or getting in the hobby. I'm kind of dipping my toes back in it aside from drive time. I've been trying to do a little bit more at home, but life gets busy.
Oh, heck, I know what you're talking about. I've got a 7-year-old granddaughter and 2 3-year-old twins, and they live in the Dexter area. And my daughter and her hubby are really busy, so I get it.
Yeah, and I'm on the other end of that. I've got, what do I have, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 5-year-old, so my time is very few and far between.
Yeah, my son-in-law was very happy because his 3-year-old got to go to preschool 2 days a week, so he actually gets a little time free because he does dad duty right now. That's the way they worked it out. And he's really happy to get to some of his projects and work on his man cave down in the basement, stuff like that. Just no time otherwise.
No, there is not. Between work and my wife's schedule, she's an RN, so her schedule is a little wonky. There's not a whole lot of time to do much anymore. So radio's a good one, though. I can do that from home. I was pretty heavy into POTA there for a bit, and then I got a new job and another baby, and there goes any of my other free time that I had.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. It's a busy world. I was in that world, but it was quite some time ago now. I've been actually retired for 15 years now, so. But I do remember it, the rat race. Yeah, my ex used to go up to Port Huron. She was an RN as well, and I would go down south in Mount Clemens. So half hour each way from Richmond, one goes south, one goes north, and it's like we meet at the end of the day, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, at your meeting, if any of your MCOM buddies are looking for radios, I've got a 710 for sale, and I've got an Icon 2730B for sale if anyone's trying to get into this. Make them a good deal.
No, I already saw that on Discord. You're the talk of the town. They're going to go fast. We'll see. I'll let you know. All right, I'm destinated at Marysville Big Boy. I'm going to grab a bite, and I'm sure we'll talk soon again, Dakota. NAWRO after you.
Sounds good. Enjoy. And, well, good. I'm hoping they're getting some attention and people start messaging me here because no one has reached out yet. But I'll catch you later. NADDF, I'll be standing by.
I heard Dakota out there. KFADRC.
How you doing, Jack?
Oh, very good. How about you?
Not so bad. Just making my way home, dealing with Hall Road, and ready to go eat some dinner.
I deal with Hall Road at this time. It's very tough. Anyhow, you heard that generator out there?
I did hear that 10-meter just opened up recently, and it's because I took my radio off my desk, and that's just how things work around my house.
Well, I've been on that for 3 days and never finished. I get tired, and so I say, I'm going to shut it down. Go get something to eat and come back. 3 days in a row, that was open.
Open enough to DX, or are you hanging out stateside and getting to, you know, California and whatnot?
All over the country. It's all over the country. Today I was talking to Japan and somebody from the island. I don't know. I can send you who I talked to.
That's awesome. I didn't know it was that open. I might have to pull the radio out of the closet then.
Oh, yeah, you're going to like it. Really, you're going to like it. And probably tomorrow, too, because they said North Pole is open. That's why.
What's open? Gotcha. Yeah, I might have to break the radio out then and play some 10-meter FT8 or something.
Yes, I would do that, really. You'll be surprised. I would really do that. You'd be surprised, believe me. For 3 days, I've been busy. I can't go and can't even go shopping. Shopping to this and shopping to that. And that's all day. Except, you know, at night, when it gets a little dark, then it's hard to hear everybody. So that's probably when I shut it down.
Yeah, 10 meters a daytime band. How's everything else been? Oh, are you general or no?
No, not yet. But I think this Sunday, or I don't know, one of the, I'm going to look for a place to go take the general.
Okay, I couldn't remember if you were or not. I was just wondering how the rest of the bands were.
Yeah, no problem. But I don't think the general anyhow, you know. And talk to on 20 and 40 and 80 and all that, because I got the vertical. By the way, I got a vertical, and it needs to be analyzed. Do you know anybody have the analyzer? Except Captain Don. Captain Don is very hard to get a hold of.
Hold on. You have a burner phone and you need it analyzed. Is that what you said?
I have a vertical antenna, 10, 20, 40, and 80. It needs to be analyzed with that Yaesu 710.
All right, my bad. I misunderstood. Do you have a Nano VNA, or are you willing to spend like $60, $50 on one on Amazon?
I don't mind, because I called DX, they want $300, and I called the R&L, they want $250, and I called the Gigabyte, they want the same price. Everybody jumping. I mean, come on, you got to do it one time, then what are you going to do? Put it in the trash? $300?
Well, a rig expert, I'm assuming that's what you're talking about, the rig expert, not a Nano VNA. A rig expert is about as easy as it gets, and they work really, 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 really well. Nano VNA requires setup calibration, and there's a bit of a learning curve to it, but they're, like I said, $50. So you kind of got to weigh if it's worth it or not.
You're going to do me a favor for that price. I don't mind paying that price, really.
Here's what I would do. I would go on YouTube and look up how to set up Nano VNA or how to analyze antenna with Nano VNA. See if it's something you're willing to put the time and effort into, because like I said, there's a little bit of work involved, but once you get it, it's not bad. And then you can use that to analyze your gear, and you're only out a couple bucks.
Do me a favor. Write down what I put on YouTube and send it to me in the text, if you don't mind. And I really appreciate it.
All right. I'll see if I can find the video that I always reference when I forget how to do it or if I get a new one. And once I find that, I'll send it to you. The guy does a super, super good job going in depth. He's very thorough how to set it up. And he's setting it up specifically for SWR on an antenna.
Hey, thank you, Dakota. Really, thank you very much.
No problem, man. Happy to help. I wish I could do more, because I think mine's pretty calibrated to where you can literally just plug it in, but we're not exactly close, and I don't exactly have much time to do anything outside of work and family.
No problem. I really appreciate it, though. Whatever you can send me to help me out a little bit with that thing, because I like to have it back instead of putting just wire out there. I have a wire, no problem, you know. It's on a tree. It does not bad, really, but I like to have that vertical, because vertical, you're talking to, you know, all over. Not like you're throwing a wire, there's a house there, and there's a tree here.
There's pros and cons to both. Isn't that harvest vertical?
Oh, you believe when I had that Drake, was that 1990, I had the Drake, and it was working. But as soon as I put that 710 on it, the 10 meter, it does not do nothing. I mean, it does. I don't hear nobody on it. But the 20 meter, I hear people. Then when I keep the mic on 20 meter, it does not do nothing. 40 does not do nothing. And then 80 does not do nothing. Even when you keep the mic on 10 meter, it does not move, not even a notch. That, you know, the meter does not move at all. So there must be something wrong.
So the meter's, the app meter, like your receive isn't moving, like it's deaf? Or you're saying the meter doesn't move when you're transmitting?
And not even when it's, especially on 10, not even when you're transmitting. But on the 20, without pushing the, you know, without seeing, you hear people out there, and that's all. 20 and 40 and 80, you do hear people. But when you come to key the mic, nothing. And the 10 meter, when you key the mic, the needle's not even moving notch.
So there's two things that could be going on. A, that radio is not transmitting to protect itself because SWR is too high if you have the tuner on. Or B, if you're just keying, nothing, you're not going to see the needle move unless there's modulation. So if you're just hitting the key, it's going to stay flat. If you're talking into it and it's not moving, then there's something else going on.
You're right. The SWR is high. You're 100% right. And I think that's how it is.
Yeah, you're going to have a process of elimination. If it's new coax, you're more than likely dealing with a bad antenna. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. The first thing you can do is get a multimeter and test for continuity on the coax, and then you can test the coax with a dummy load and see what that looks like. But to me, it sounds like the vertical might just be shot. If it's that old one, it could just be cooked and that radio is just saying, nuh-uh.
I don't know about that because Professor Don, I was asking him before he passed away, I got a vertical, and he said, and I said, those, I call them tubes, you know, those, I forgot the name of them, they're 20 and 40 and 80, he said, no, they don't go, nothing wrong with them.
Well, it depends on the vertical you have, too, because some verticals don't do 10 through 80. I'd say most don't do 10 through 80. A lot of them are, 10, 20, 40, or even less than that. Some of them are monoband, so it depends on what you have.
Oh, I'll be honest with you, from the first, it had no name at all. Yeah, but it was working when it drank. When I had that drag, it was working. I can hear on 10 and 20 and 40 and 80.
Yeah, if you can't hear, something's definitely not right. I mean, you technically could even get some noise just from coax, not even plugged into anything. Yeah, I'll send you that video. Give that a shot. Take a look at it. I think you're going to realize, though, that you're probably going to have to replace the coax and the antenna, or hopefully just the antenna.
The coax I got now on it, LMR 240. I don't know if that's any good for this, for the radio or the antenna, I don't know, but I'm sure that LMR 240 is not bad wire, and I just bought it not too long ago.
No, that's like overkill wire, that's good wire. I just use RG8X and I don't really have any issues. So, did you buy a complete wire or did you have to terminate it?
It was complete from both ways. But, you know, what that vertical is, it needed a wire because it was all rusted out. I replaced the bottom of it and replaced all these six the small mask that goes on the, right on the round, I replaced them all with a new one.
Yeah, without actually being there and, you know, analyzing the thing, it's really tough to say, but I would put my money on the antenna, let's put it that way.
I know what you're saying, but you look at them, the $400, $350, the cheapest, I like to get, you know, I don't mind four is enough, you know, frequency, but, you know, and then you buy the extra antenna, like a, you know, 6 meter or 2 meter, then you buy that, that's no problem, you know what I mean, but if the vertical is already there and it's been operating and all that time, but I never tested, you know, I never got, because I didn't have no right to, but I always listened to all of them.
NADBF, I would consider a wire. If you got the space for a wire, I'd try to get a wire. I have a 60-foot 5-to-1 in my attic with a 710, and it works fine. They're cheap. They're easy to hide. They can take power. They hear everything. They're multi-band. Check those out. But I got to take this call. I'll be back. NADBF.
Hey, no problem. Take care. KFA-GFC.
NADBF, KFA-GFV. KFA-GFV, clear.
Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray. Can any station give me a signal check, please?
KFA-EFV, you're coming through at pretty close to 9-5. Everything sounds great.
I appreciate it very much. I just wanted to see if my radio would make it to the Richmond machine from close to the St. Clair County International Airport. So just wanted to make sure I was getting in. I appreciate it very much. 7-3s, and this will be KE8LAX monitoring.
You are very welcome. Sounds super strong. I'm on the Holly repeater here. Actually, no, I'm coming through a node onto Detroit, but everything sounds great. KF8EFB.
Station out there with a radio check. He's sounding good, and I'm over here in Rochester, and I'm on the one repeater, but he's sounding good. KFA-DRC.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you for coming back. 7-3, Kilo Echo 8, Lima Alpha X-ray.
No problem at all. KFA-DRC.
W8NSC Mobile.
KC8KJO, KC8KJO, NAWRO.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Total Honey, Miss Riley, radio test.
November 8th, Juliet Oscar Yankee. Wonderful monitoring.